Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're at the halftime of the Knicks game. Knicks up 17 as they're starting to pull away at the end of the second half. At the end of the first half, you saw Karl-Anthony Towns, who I guess was in foul trouble early again. I'm trying to watch, trying to do a show. He had a drive down the lane that we haven't seen from Cat that often, man. He went right down the lane and stuffed it home. That was about as forceful and powerful a move we have seen from Karl-Anthony Towns in a while.
Off a fake dribble handoff.
Yeah.
Coming around the course.
So. I mean, that was... That made me jump out of my chair. That, between that and the construction, we almost had an accident up in here. Like, that was impressive. And they are starting to pull away. They smell that championship. Give me that. We want the cup. But just real quickly, we're talking about the football, and we'll get back to the baseball, I promise. Continue to take your calls on Stearns, the Mets, the Yankees. Is there anything new going on? You're monitoring Twitter, I'm assuming, there, Rami. Have we heard any new reports, anything worth of note, anything?
I'm blocked by Jeff Passan.
You're blocked by Jeff Passan?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my God. Now, I know Jeff Passan's a little bit. I know Jeff Passan's a little bit like that. It's Craig's fault?
Yes.
This is from years ago now?
This is from the last time there was a lockout.
Oh, okay. I know there was a little bit of a... Craig was doing something about... He had the video, the audio of him talking about Elmo and some other stuff. Yeah, I vaguely remember an issue with
and
him.
And I tweeted a reply to Craig and got blocked.
Look at you. Now, he's not the only one.
Oh, no, it's Jeff Passan's fault.
No. I'm saying he's not the only one who reports news. Yeah. Have we heard anything new, anything from the Yankees, anybody about anything? The Mets were surprised. They expected to get last licks in the negotiation. That's not a winning strategy going up against the big bad Dodgers. Thank you, John Harper. I completely agree with you. Sorry, that is not a good strategy when you're going up against the Dodgers. The Dodgers don't mess around. Clearly. All right, but let's talk about the Giants and Jets real quick, because for me, this is, I hate the Giants for putting me in this spot. I know there are so many fans where it's very easy. You turn on the game, you want your team to win. This is all nonsense. You got a young quarterback anyway. The New York Giants currently, as we sit right now at 2-11, have the number one pick in the draft. Number one pick in the draft. And they don't need a quarterback. So you know what that means? That means the likes of the New York Jets. That means the likes of possibly the Raiders, the New Orleans Saints, a handful of teams that are looking for quarterback will be extremely interested in trading up to number one to get Mendoza, who is most likely, as of right now, now a lot can happen between now and the draft. We know that all the we know every year someone's going to creep up. He might have a bad pro day. Who knows? But right now, coming off of his performance in the Big Ten championship game, beating Ohio State, and doing it in with the composure and the big throws down the stretch that he did, he feels like that's a big moment in a big game, and he did what he had to do to beat the defending champs. So he feels right now as a quarterback ready to take over a franchise. And it's easy for the Jets. At this point, you're crazy if you want them to win games. You're crazy. If you watch that performance and say, and I talked about this on Monday morning, I respect the hell out of the Jets postgame. I think they do a great job on SNY. I respect Connor Rogers. I've worked with Bart a little bit, you know, for a year and a half or so, however long I was with CMB. Excuse me. He did they do a great job. I worked with Willie recently, you know, in the morning show for a couple days. I think they do a great job. But they're talking about how it's important to evaluate the coaching staff. And I'm like, it's not. There's nothing to evaluate. It's over. If you wanted them to win games, you know when a good time to win games was? In the first seven when they mattered. It no longer matters. And you're not firing him. They've already made that decision. They're not firing him. And Muji's done a good job for the most part, right? Good draft, good trades. Like, we're somewhat positive on the GM. They are not firing these two. They're coming back. They're going to be drafting the quarterback or doing whatever they do this year. Whatever the case, learning about the coach and how he handles the rest, like, it doesn't matter. The idea that, we need to know if we can develop a quarterback. No, we're going to find that out no matter what. And I'm sorry, you can't tell me that him getting something out of Tyrod Taylor or Brady Cook the rest of the way is going to show you anything that matters at all. Absurd. I'm sorry, I find it absurd. It is time to lose. We have reached that part of the season, lose, 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 lose. And you better hope that the Giants lose to the Raiders, because if the Raiders get the first pick, you can kiss your quarterback goodbye, or at least Mendoza goodbye. And for those of you who tell me draft picks don't matter, then I don't want to hear, like I heard Evan today, telling me, I'm rooting for Colts losses. And that's why, Phillip Rivers, I hope he can't play. I hope they lose all those games because it helps the Jets. Well, if draft picks don't matter, then I don't want to hear you rooting for the Colts to lose. Let the chips fall where they may. It's better to have better draft picks. It means nothing to win your fourth game in week 15. Nothing! But now the Giants are a different situation. The Giants are really put you in that spot where it sucks. They have put me in a position where I have to sit here and wonder if it's best for the team to have the young quarterback go play well and win football games against bad teams that I and you and most of the NFL would tell you they are better than. I think they're better than the Raiders. I think they're better than Washington. They should win those games. And I want Jackson Dart to play well, and I want Jackson Dart to get a little bit of that taste of winning. I do. I think with a rookie quarterback, you can make the case that these games can be built on, and you can build something with a young quarterback like Eli Manning down the stretch of 2004. But here's the question. Do you really want to lose that first overall pick and the windfall in draft picks that will bring you? What's more important? Winning games down the stretch of a dead season with a coach who won't be here, an entire coaching staff, really, that won't be here, a GM who might not be here. Like, is it really more important to win those games with Jackson Dart than to stay in the one seed and get the windfall that is coming? And get all the draft picks that are coming and the ability to shape this team? Have we learned enough from Jackson Dart? Have we seen enough? Do we feel good enough about this team where you forego it and you play Russell Wilson or you play Jameis Winston? I don't think so. I think you got to play the kid, but I got to be honest with you. You play Jackson Dart because he needs to play. He needs to play. He needs the reps. I think these games are important for his development as a quarterback. You want to see how defenses play. You want to go play Minnesota and that good defensive coordinator and see how they attack you. You want to learn these things. You want to make your rookie mistakes. You want to build. These are important games for a rookie quarterback. But it's hard to sit there and root for victories when I know all it does is hurt them. And I blame them. It's their fault. It's not mine for the way I look at the game. It's not. It's their fault for putting me in the position for being so awful when it mattered that now when it doesn't, I'm forced to look at it this way. I hate it. I hate it. But you got to play the quarterback, and you can't coach to lose. You can't play to lose. So Giants are going to go out there and win some games. You know it. They're going to win some games. They're going to lose this first overall pick. They're going to pick fourth or fifth or sixth. And that's fine. You should get a good player there, although it's projected to be a weak draft. But think of what that first pick is going to get. If that's Tennessee with the first pick in the draft, right? Right now, the Jets, absolutely. And this is why, like, it sucks, though, because you're going to take all that draft capital you just got from Indianapolis and from Dallas, and you're going to throw it right back into trying to get a quarterback. It's not going to take you all of them, but it's going to take, if you're picking sixth to move up to one, it's going to take you two number ones. That's the starting conversation. Two number ones plus. That sucks. But you have to go do it. You have to go do it. You have to go trade up and get that quarterback. And if you're the Giants, you have to play him and hope he plays well. I hate these two teams. I hate what they've become. I hate what they've turned me into. I just hate it. I hate it. I hate it. And they've become one just mess. They're the same thing. I'm not a Jet fan. I root for the Jets, believe it or not. People think I hate them. I don't know why. I only picked them to go to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row. But I watch them, and I feel like I'm watching the Giants. It's that same dirty feeling of just, my God, like, what are we doing? But, I mean, at least it's easy for the Jet fan. Lose. And then we'll get to, Rivers coming back. It's amazing. I mean, the guy is really a truly one of these just amazing individuals, right? With all the kids, his ability to play, coming back now at, what, 44 years old? I don't know if he actually plays, but, I mean, that's where the Colts are right now, as bad as it is. And, yeah, it's a fun conversation because, as Marash was talking about, if he's on the roster, it resets his availability for the Hall of Fame, which would change a dynamic for Eli if there's not another Hall of Fame caliber quarterback on the list at the time. Could help Eli Manning, I suppose. And I know that's a big conversation between those two quarterbacks. Obviously, the Giants drafted Phillip Rivers and was part of the trade for Eli Manning. And Marash also said something that I found very funny because it's so relatable and so true. Without question, the most times I've been knocked out of a knockout pool has been the Phillip Rivers Chargers, without question. For whatever reason, they have knocked me, Phillip Rivers and that Chargers team had knocked me out of more knockout pools than any other team by far. It just felt like it was always, and I always said to myself, don't pick the Chargers. I would wait till the end of the year when I had no choice, and they would still screw me. But I don't know if he's actually going to play, and it doesn't really matter. The Colts feel dead, don't they? Watching Daniel Jones roll around on the floor and slam the helmet, it just felt like the end as we're getting their ass kicked by Jacksonville. It's an unfortunate story in New Orleans, in Indianapolis. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Corey in Manalpin. What's up, Corey?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, I'm listening to you, and I'm trying to figure out whether I want the number one draft choice or do I want some wins. And when I keep going back to, let's see, if we have the number one, boy, can we use it to get more picks? Because one pick's not going to do it for us. But do I want them to tank? And they're not going to tank. It's just not in some of these players. So, you know, how do you watch the games? I don't know. What do? You just root, or you?
Yeah.
I guess you just root for him, huh?
I root for Jackson Dart, and then I hope he plays really well, and maybe in the end loses. I don't know what to root for. I hate it. And so, like, I guess I'm just going to go back to the natural order of things and root for the Giants to win. I don't know. But I absolutely despise them for making me feel this way. I absolutely despise them. Because it's true. Like, however you want to put it, man, that first overall pick, you are going to get a ton for it. You are going to get a ton for that pick. That is so valuable when you don't need the quarterback. There's no worry of making that mistake. Like, you are going to trade that pick, and you are going to get a windfall for it. Like, you are, that is going to happen. Going to happen. And they could use a lot of picks. They could use a lot more players. They could use to, you know, fill out this roster. And I trust the quarterback, and I think he's going to be good next year, but, like, I still want him to play. He needs to play. And that's the other thing. Like, it's funny, too. I always get mad. I've been getting mad lately about this tanking situation because people just continue to just keep putting it out there, Call me soft or whatever else. I'm not a real fan. I can't tell you how many times. Oh, I'm not a real fan. Oh, that's right. I need that third win in Week 15 desperately. You guys are nuts. I just don't get it. Such a loser mentality. You got the nerve to call me a loser. Such a loser mentality to be happy about a third win. My God. And, like, here's the thing, too, because you just said it. These players, you know, when tanking, you assume... Every time I mention tanking, everyone's like, oh, there's no such thing as tanking. You can't. You know what you're asking these players to do? You're asking these players to not play hard. You're asking these players to not want to go win. You can't ask that of an NFL player. It's ridiculous. How could you say that? How could you suggest that they would lose on purpose? Like, tell the player that. Tell the player that. It's ridiculous. And then at the same breath, you will turn around and go, hey, see why that Atlanta game is important? They continue to play for the coach. They continue to play for Allen. For Glenn, I'm sorry. They continue to play for Glenn. That's important to show. What are you talking about? You just told me they will play hard no matter what. That you can't ask them to not play hard. That they are going to go out there because they have to put good play on tape. It's not just for the Jets, but maybe they're on a different team next year. That every NFL player can't be asked to do anything else but to go out there and bust his ass and play as hard as he can. And then we'll turn around and go, well, they're playing hard for the coach. That's important. What do you mean? Of course they're playing hard for the coach. They're going to play hard for everybody. That's what I thought. So what the hell does that mean? So stupid.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve in Bayside. What's up, Steve?
What's going on, Chris? Let me touch on Diaz before I get to the Yankees.
Okay.
As far as I can see, the Mets did absolutely nothing wrong here. The Mets offered him a raise on a 3-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the Dodgers. Dodgers offered him the same length of a contract with an extra $2 million per year,
mm-hmm.
and he signed, and apparently he never went back to the Mets
right.
to give them an opportunity to match. So what the hell were they supposed to do?
Show more urgency and sign him. That's what they're supposed to do. Maybe don't
they didn't
play.
Have an opportunity.
Oh, they didn't? Of course they did. They didn't have to offer him 3 years when he was asking for five. They didn't have to play the game of I'm going to go
he
out there.
For three.
I don't care. I don't care. You're playing against the Dodgers. You have to make sure you outdo them. You want to keep him or not? Is he not your star closer?
You have to make sure you outdo an offer you have no knowledge
yes.
about?
No, because you yeah, no, absolutely.
Oh,
you know you're not negotiating against yourself. It's your job to know the Dodgers are involved. It's your job to know that. And it's your job to know what gets it done. And it's your job to know that you shouldn't be shortchanging him and pissing him off, going up against a team that it doesn't they'll do whatever. Like, I'm sorry. You have to make sure, like last year they were able to negotiate. They didn't want to negotiate against themselves with Pete, and it worked. This time, they didn't want to negotiate against themselves, and they were going to find out what the market was. They played the market game with a team that doesn't care about the market, and they lost. Plain and simple. They lost. You want to play the game of, oh, well, I'm going to offer you this as just like a starting thing, and then come back to me, and then we'll talk, and we'll go back and forth. Uh-uh. He didn't want to do that. Offer him the fourth year. He's asking for five. Give him 4 years. Be the team that shows him, because he didn't do crap for the Dodgers. He was the best closer in baseball for the last 3 years for the Mets. Why didn't they show more urgency and more interest in bringing back their guy? Time and time again, they don't show more urgency in bringing back their guy.
Would it be too much to ask to say to the player, hey, go see what the market is out there, but before you sign with anybody, come back to us because we want to talk to you before you sign a contract?
No, it's not too much to ask, but it's not
unreasonable, according to you.
No, I didn't say it's unreasonable. I'm saying it's not enough to guarantee you get the player. Go get the player.
The player wanted to be a Dodger.
We don't know. How do we know that? Why?
Because they were in the World Series.
Oh, so what?
The Mets couldn't even get to the playoffs.
Soto wanted to be a Met, apparently. Everybody wants to be somewhere else.
Yeah, how's that working
Everybody
out?
Wants to be somewhere else. Like, I don't know. All I know is that he chose to sign with the Mets prior to all of this, and they had a negotiating window, just them, to talk to him, and instead they let the Dodgers in. They should have made sure they got their guy, plain and simple. He's Steve Cohen. He's got more money than everybody else. Make sure you get your guy. And they didn't. They didn't.
Well, his agent knows that Steve Cohen has more money than anybody else, and he didn't even make that. He didn't
yeah,
even
something make that happened. Something
he
happened
just,
in the negotiations.
More money. Oh, you offered me more? Thank you. I'm signing.
Something happened in the negotiations that made him feel that way. I'm sorry. Like, you have to go out there and bring that guy in. They played games with him. They had plenty of time to sign him. They play in the same games with Pete Alonso. The idea that he didn't like the games the Mets were playing, so he said, you know what, I'll go be a Dodger. That's not the same as he never wanted to be a Met. I'm sorry, it's just not.
Let's move on to Marte. I love Marte as a player. Love him. There's nothing not to like about him. The one thing, and his contract takes him out to like age 37. The only thing that concerns me about Marte is that it would take a big package to get him, and you're getting him for his ages 32 to 37 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing about it. You know, if it was just for money, if he was a free agent, you would say, well, all right, I'll take the chance on it. But to give up talent and to pay him that's something that I hesitate to do.
To pay Marte what, though? Do you know his contract is very good for the player? He's the best second baseman in the game.
Well, about $20 million a year.
Yeah, for the best second baseman in the game.
Yeah, I mean, he would, on the open market right now, he would definitely get more than
right.
that, yes. Which is why it's going to cost you a big package in terms of talent.
Well, I mean, if they're willing to move him at all, he's going to be his 32nd year. He had an 893 OPS last year, had a 932 OPS the year before. I mean, he's been a
lefty's better than righties too.
Yeah, he fits them great.
He's a fantastic fit for he's a great fit for the Yankees. Plays center field, plays shortstop, plays second base. You can play him anywhere basically.
Yeah. No, I mean,
there's nothing to say about the talent. It's just the age that concerns me. But the age and the fact that
they got him. And it's control. Next year, 2026, $16 million. 2027, $12 million. 28, 20, 29, 22, 2030, 22.
I think there's deferred money in there, though. It averages 20 per year.
All right, but I'm just saying, next year it's $16 million.
Yeah, well,
and then the year after that, 12. I mean, you got him controlled till 2030. I have no problem giving up
32 to 37. That's
I know, but I have no problem giving up control. I have no problem giving up prospects for a player that I have control of on a good contract for the best second baseman in the sport. I I don't know what you're gonna have to give up for him. It's a lot of but it seems like if they're even willing to move him, there's a reason for it, and we'll see what the market is for him and whether or not that market would be something significant. I would trade. I mean, we start with Jason Dominguez and keep moving. 100% I'm in. 100%. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. Be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I got to call up one of those, I think they have a site. I think we promote them. That company that takes like the VHS tapes and puts them onto I got to call one of those guys.
Memory something.
Yeah, something. Memory Box?
Yes.
Yeah.
You hear it more often than I do.
888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. A little bit of football mixed in. The Knicks are about to start the second half with a 17-point lead over Toronto to make it to the semifinals. Or is this the semifinals? Quarterfinals?
This is the quarterfinal.
All right, so this is the quarterfinal. Semis are coming up.
Which would be in Vegas.
Which would be in Vegas, right. And it would be against... Yeah. And it'd be against Orlando, so.
Which those games have been really fun for the Knicks.
Yeah, they have been.
And where it helps the Knicks is now there is a possibility of there being a tiebreaker because they get to play each other another time. So as far as playoff seeding down the road, this is more important than the NBA Cup. If the Knicks beat Orlando again, because they've already lost them twice, they'd be even in the season series.
They'd be even again in the season series. So those games, against even though Orlando, they don't count in the standings?
No, they count as regular season games.
Even the Cup games?
Yes. Because otherwise they'd be making them up with other teams.
Right. I thought they were separate.
It's all part of the 82.
Oh, jeez. See, that's how much invested I am. I knew, because you can't schedule those games, but I guess
that's why if you look at the Knicks schedule coming into tonight, they had tonight, and then their next game was until like next Friday.
So you can't schedule any team for 82 games because
they schedule them for each team for 80 games.
And then they just float two games in?
Or might even be 79 and three float or something like that.
Dan in Forest Hills. What's up, Dan?
Hey, good evening. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Okay, regarding this Diaz thing, I think everybody's got this all wrong. I don't think they ever had intention of bringing Diaz back. That's why they signed Devin Williams. That's why they didn't negotiate with him in the exclusive window. And that's why they lowballed him and insulted him with the 3 years, $66 million. And as far as Alonzo's concerned, now that Schwarber got his 5 years for $150 million, the Mets aren't going to sign him. They're not going to match 5 years.
I mean, I hear you. And yeah, look, again, it's hard to call. I understand the last caller's point about you can't call it a low ball offer because he ended up signing for only $3 million more. I get that. But to me, like, the job is to get the player. Bottom line, the job is to re-sign him. Did you want him or not? And if you had the idea that three wasn't going to get it done, that three was going to open him up to negotiating with another team. And I know you wanted it back, and I'm sure you were stunned. But, like, you know who you're dealing with, the Los Angeles Dodgers. You don't play games where you let them go talk to the Dodgers. And I know it wasn't a lot of money, so it seems like, oh, he wanted to leave. I don't know what happened from the negotiating process on, but I'm sorry. To me, you want him. He's asking for five, and you offer three at 66. I mean, obviously, somewhere along the line, he felt slighted. Avi in Far Rockaway. What's up, Avi?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. First-time caller over here, that's for sure. So basically, I'm a Braves fan.
This call will be recorded.
Born in the A. And,
you're recording this? You know what? So am I. So we're even.
Listen, I'm a Braves fan. My grandfather's a Mets fan, so we always went back and forth. But I think everybody has this all wrong in terms of, You can't exactly play hardball. You know, sometimes you're being against a better team or the team with more money per se. So you have to go with the Devin Williams, route. With that being said, obviously they still want to bring Diaz back, in which you would put Williams in the eighth inning and Diaz in the ninth inning. With that being said, they still can make more moves. You have Beatty who you can move him. You have Acuna Jr., you can move him. You have McNeil, you can move him. You have Vientos, you can move him. You can make a nice little package, go out and get Ketel Marte. Now that Schwarber, re-signed with the Phillies,
yeah,
your priority has to be Alonzo. You know, first and foremost priority. Now that Schwarber went for 5 years, you better be bringing back Alonzo for 5 years. Otherwise, you're going to lose his fan base if you haven't already lost his fan base with the whole Diaz fiasco.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think now you've put yourself in a position where you have to sign Pete for five. That's why this whole thing is so, like, I don't disagree with you. And I hear you, Avi. Like, is there still a way to build a competitive team that could go win a championship? I mean, yeah. Lindor's a really great player. Juan Soto's a great player. You've got McLean, who might be an ace. Devin Williams has the potential to be a closer in this league. He's been that before. You can add pieces, do different things, work it around, add Bellinger, do different things, and still, like, the offseason isn't over. So, and I've tried to tell Met fans that are calling up and screaming for him to be fired and everything else that They're being unreasonable, and we need to relax. But that doesn't change. That's, and the whole thing about it is you knew you couldn't lose both of them, right? On some level, you had to have an idea you couldn't lose both Pete Alonso and Edwin Diaz. And you let him go to the Dodgers for 3 years and $69 million. I'm sorry. And I don't get behind the idea of, well, you did nothing wrong. You offered him a contract and he immediately shopped it and just took the next offer. I don't, like, you, that's your job to read that market. It's your job to understand that he's going to feel slighted or whatever the case, or like, I'm sorry. That's not enough to retain him, and you played a game with the Dodgers and lost. You weren't negotiating against yourself. You were negotiating against the Dodgers. And now, because you didn't want to give a fourth year to Diaz, you're probably going to have to give a fifth year to Pete. Scott and Brick. What's up, Scott?
Hey, how are you, Big Mac?
Good. How are you?
Good. I don't understand why the Yankees aren't connected to Marte in any reports.
Yeah. No one. I was just reading the Marte market, and it's got the Red Sox. It's got a whole bunch of different
right.
people.
Why are the Yankees not in there? I think first of all, Marte's a contact hitter. Besides for his power that he brings, he's a contact hitter. He leads off a lot of times for the Diamondbacks, so he could be a leadoff hitter, which is something the Yankees really need. And the Diamondbacks are looking for pitching. Why don't you just take Chisholm, give them the second baseman, and add in some pitching prospects, or even give them a Will Warren or someone. Or if you know, like maybe even a Luis Gil without other prospects, put together a package, and it just upgrades the team in such a big way. You get a leadoff hitter, they have a contact hitter, Jazz just swings and misses. Yeah, he hits 30 home runs. But, you know, he's high, he's cold, he's this. It upgrades the offense in such a big way.
Yeah, John Heyman put out a tweet. Ketel Marte market heating up. Red Sox, Mariners, Jays, possibly Phillies and Rays. D-backs seeking a big package, understandably, for a superstar second baseman. So, like, yeah, I think they should be involved in these kind of trades. That's the kind of player I think you bring in here. You have him under control for the next... They love having the guy under control. The money is reasonable over the next couple of years. I would try and, you know, figure... I would love to play him at third base. Apparently he hasn't played much third base at all. I mean, 11 innings, that's nothing.
Across three games.
Yeah, so I mean, he has hardly played third base. We know Jazz doesn't work at third base. I mean, if you tell Jazz he has the entire offseason to work at third base, I think he could figure it out, but what do you do with McMahon? So it's not a perfect fit. You can play the outfield a little bit. You have to move someone. Do you want to move Jazz and bring in Ketel Marte?
He's played a lot of shortstop.
I mean, I wish they would play him at shortstop. I don't think they're going to play him at shortstop, but and when's the last time he played shortstop? Probably been a while. Ketel Marte, the last time he played shortstop.
2024.
Okay. At a significant clip?
No.
Yeah.
None of it was at a significant clip. He's played 277 games at shortstop.
I mean, yes, only second to second base. Let me see where the... 2016, he started 116 games there. That's really the last big number. So, I mean, you're going back a long time. Played 71 games in center field in 21. I mean, yeah, he hasn't played second base at a significant clip since 2016 when he was, you know, 22 years old.
Could it be worse than Volpe?
I guess I don't worse. Think I honestly think yes. I think Anthony Volpe's defense is going to be. I think the shoulder impacted the defense far more than it impacted the hitting. namely because he was a good defensive player before last year. Let's be fair. Like, did you look back at that Gold Glove caliber season and say, hey, was that really a Gold Glove caliber shortstop? I think you could argue it wasn't, but it was good. You don't win the Gold Glove by accident. They don't take bad shortstops and give them the Gold Glove. Although the numbers would tell you Derek Jeter did just that. But which is, that's why I don't believe in defensive metrics as much. But his defense took an absolute turn for the worse. Like, his offense was exactly the same as it's always been. I laugh. Like, I was laughing at Brian Cashman in the Yankee hot stove when they're talking about, well, he just hasn't found that consistency. Sure he has. Anthony Volpe is extremely consistent. He's consistently bad. His numbers are identical. He has the same numbers year in and year out. He's the epitome of consistent. He's consistently one of the worst hitters in baseball. Eddie in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, buddy, what's happening? You know, it's only 2 weeks till Christmas. You don't seem too festive, man.
No?
You're not in the festive mood.
Why not?
I don't know. Maybe the changing of the schedules around and getting you know, getting off time and something.
No, I mean, but I feel like I'm pretty festive. Well, I don't know what you'd like me to do. Should we be playing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer for rejoins?
No, play that. I'm surprised you didn't pick the Paul McCartney song as the best Christmas song.
It's a great one. It's not my favorite. My favorite Christmas song is without doubt Mariah Carey's "All I Want for Christmas Is You." That's the best Christmas song.
Yeah, you're not really a rock guy.
I am a rock guy.
The King's got a good one.
Yeah, they do.
So does The Waitress, Wrapping Paper, or something like that. But
yeah, no.
Well, I want to know what you thought about Eli Manning going to Mississippi as the coach. And if that's true, he wants to be the coach. Shouldn't the Giants just jump the gun and make him an offer and get the Manning? Maybe make Peyton the GM, man. He's smart enough to handle that job.
You don't actually believe that Eli Manning is up for the Ole Miss job, do you?
I don't know. That's what it said.
No, he's not. He's already come out and joked. He's already said he talked to them, and if they were willing to let him coach from his living room, that he would be open to it. But they said, no, you got to come and be with the team and, you know, be there for all the practices and everything. So he decided not. He would be willing to do it if he could coach from his house. But Eli Manning was never going to be the coach of Ole Miss. That was I think it was just a fun little, like, BS story. Dan in Medford. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Mac. How you doing tonight?
Good, buddy.
Mac?
How are you?
All right. Real quick, I just, you know, I pulled over the, you know, I was listening to you guys and stuff, and I don't know. I'm good with Diaz going. I'm a Met fan since, say, 78. I watched a lot of losing seasons. I actually wouldn't mind it if they just stripped it, and not really stripped it. I love Pete. Pete's a Met, but I'm all right with Diaz going. He's a closer. Closers usually don't last too long. You actually said that the last 3 years he was the best, but he did lose a year. And you know what? The Dodgers have more of a chance to win the World Series. You know, they've got every all-star that you can imagine over there. So I could see why he'd want to go over there before, you know, it's over. But I wouldn't mind them playing younger dude, not paying so much money. Like I said, man, I watched a lot of losing seasons. I don't mind it. But this whole money thing, you guys all are into, hey, listen, you lost to them. Like, how much more money do you want to give these guys? Like you're saying, you slighted them. So you slighted Edwin Diaz. I'd rather see a AAA closer come out.
Yeah, no, you're right.
You'd rather, anyway.
I agree with you. You'd rather see the money in the pocket of a billionaire. I get you. Steve Cohen deserves that money more than Edwin Diaz does. Let's just keep it in the billionaire's pockets.
Well, he's the one that gave everyone hope, right?
By spending his money. I think paying the best closer in baseball is smart.
How long is he going to be the best closer?
I don't know. Next year. I would think next year sure.
Well, I think that as time went on, you would see that, say, someone like Mariano Rivera was like a, you know, different to the rule, right? But most of them phase out.
I understand that, but he's been as consistent as anyone in a spot that, you're right, isn't that consistent. He's been that consistent. Since 2022, when he's on the mound, he's excellent.
I guess it's more about throwing so much money to everybody.
Why are you hung up on the money? He's got plenty of money. Third place that bothers you. It's the way they paid for third place. You'd rather be in third place and not spend money than try and go change being in third place.
Well, like I said, I'm a fan since say 78, being a kid. And right. This and that. And you know what? I always hated the Yankees. The one thing that we had on them was that Steinbrenner paid all this money. He never put anything into a pitching staff, and they lost. They lost throughout the whole 80s, and the Mets built. And that's mm-hmm. how that they, and that's, you know, and you have other teams like Arizona that built from the bottom, people that can't afford that. You know,
I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, yeah, I mean, I know the Mets, you know, 86 built. They also, you know, traded for Keith Hernandez. They got Gary Carter. Like, I don't know why anyone, why are you throwing this money around? I mean, because you want to win. And you got to pay players to get them to come to your team. You'd rather just have a bad team that doesn't spend money? Why would you want Steve Cohen to be here? You would have been more happy with the Wilpons. Just don't pay. I'm okay because I was a fan since 1978, so I'm okay with losing. I'm okay with losing as long as it's not that we're paying all these players to lose. I just don't understand the thought process. Go out and get the best players. Go out and get the best players and try and win. He's the best closer in baseball. He's been that. He's been the most consistent reliever in baseball. He's your guy. Pay him. Make him feel wanted. You're seeing now reports, as I'm looking through it on Twitter, that he didn't love the idea they weren't that aggressive with him. And he didn't love the idea that they signed Devin Williams, who is absolutely a replacement closer in case he leaves, without keeping him in the loop. Now, you want to say you don't have to keep him in the loop? That's not my job to keep him in the loop. Okay, it's your job to keep him. And if not keeping him in the loop hindered your ability to keep him, that's a bad job. Plain and simple. He's your guy. You do what it takes to keep him. And if you want to be the guy who goes, well, he's shame on him if keeping him in the loop wasn't like, okay, whatever. He's not here. The Dodgers were happy to pay him. He's happy to take their money, and he's going to go compete for a championship with someone else. King George in the Bronx. What's up, King George?
Live long and prosper, and I want you to have a good January and February so you can march on through. And a Christmas song-related thing. How dare you not put Clyde McFadder and the Drifters' White Christmas as the top Christmas song?
I don't know what I was thinking. I'm so sorry, George.
Yeah. You got to listen to that record. But you know what? The more this Steinbrenner, I'm not even going to call him by his first name, operates, the more I miss his father. His father didn't let things go by. He initiated things.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. You don't even know what his motive or what his plan is.
I think his plan is to win. I believe it or not, I think his plan is to win. I think he has a somewhat of a financial limit, but I don't think it's $300 million, and I think it's enough to win. But, like, again, with the George stuff, King George, I love you, man. I truly do. But, like, enough with this.
We miss you, George. Your son's nothing like you, George.
I mean, enough with this. The team was, he didn't win in the 80s. He didn't. And everyone's like, oh, he would have bought everybody. He would have spent money. He would have thrown it around. He wouldn't have cared about this luxury tax. He would have spent money. No. Right. He loves spending money and throwing it away so much that when he felt like Dave Winfield's contract was like kind of was pulled over the, you know, pulled the wool over his eyes, and he thought he gave more money than Dave Winfield than he thought he was giving him, he only hired someone to dig up dirt on him so that he wouldn't have to pay that money. But no, he would have been fine with the luxury tax. He didn't care. He would have been fine paying the Tampa Bay Rays to go beat him. He would have been fine with that. He would have been fine with it. He never minded money that went out the door. No. He only tried to get it back from a superstar by digging up dirt on him. But that's, you know, I mean, and then he got banished for 3 years. And that's when the team of the dynasty that now everyone is measured against was built while he was gone. But no, I mean, you know, Hal's nothing like his father. It's just so dumb. Could he stand to use a little bit more George? Yes. If George were here, would the Yankees have won a championship? I don't know. Wanting it doesn't make it so. Oh. Ramon in Rockland County, what's up, buddy?
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
I want to talk about why the Yankees don't fire Aaron Boone. I'm tired of Aaron Boone as the Yankees manager.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I went to the games. I'm tired of this guy making the decisions to take out a pitcher too early, bring in a guy that's not, you know, like, that's, for example, game one of the World Series last year,
example.
He should have been fired. He put in Nestor Cortez
mm-hmm.
to pitch when he hasn't pitched the whole postseason. What is wrong, man? And then he says, oh, it's analytics. Go check
no, it's
the
not.
Analytics.
He didn't say Freddie it's analytics. Oh. He didn't say it's analytics. He said, I like the matchups. He got Ohtani out on one pitch, and then he threw a bad pitch to Freddie Freeman. I mean,
exactly.
There's no, yeah, I know. So what? But, like, we make it seem like if he did something else, he would have won. Like, we never think of the idea that, you know what? In the position they were in, with one out, two runners on, top of that order coming up, there was no one to bring into that game that gets you out of it. Plain and simple. There was no one that I felt good about bringing into that game. Against the top of that Dodgers order, only up a run, one man out, two men on, Ohtani at the plate. I don't like anybody coming out. And totally honest with you, I think they lose that game no matter who he brings in. I don't want to revisit that whole thing because, again, you probably have to pitch to Mookie Betts. The idea that Mookie Betts gets pitched around because Verdugo goes into the stands and moves the runner up to second base. So with the lefty on the mound, you then walk Mookie Betts to pitch to Freddie Freeman, who was hobbled at the time with the ankle injury. If you bring in Tim Hill, you don't trust him against right-handed hitters. You don't know that the fly ball is going to set up the runner moving up and that you could walk the Mookie Betts. You're not going to walk him if it's a runner on first because you're not going to put the tying run on second. So you have to bring in a pitcher that you think can get out Ohtani and Mookie Betts. I don't know if you've watched Tim Hill. He doesn't get out right-handed hitters. Nestor Cortez was a starting pitcher who gets out right-handed hitters better than Tim Hill does. He got out Ohtani. He gave a home run to Freddie Freeman. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. You're tired of players not performing. I get it. I get it. And at some point, Aaron Boone's got to win. But I think he's a far better manager than people give him credit for. He's not a great manager. He's not Miller Huggins. If they fired him tomorrow, I'd be like, I hope the next guy's better. But the idea that whoever it is would guaranteed to be better because he sucks, I disagree with. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Back after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.